Normally I would sing Have Another Special Number, but because we've got visitors this morning, I know some of them be traveling, I want to try to go ahead and bring the message that God's laid on my heart for the morning hour. Again, I want to say it's good to have our visitors with us. I appreciate Brother Hasty coming down from Evansville. Even if he did get confused, I appreciate him. Sometimes confusion must be good. Amen. And appreciate Miss Gwen's family being with us today also in the service. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm 102, if you would please. Psalm 102. And Brother Hasty was telling me it's hard to find a Baptist church in Evansville that believes in the King James Bible. It's getting harder to find churches anywhere in America that believes in the King James Bible. They've got every perversion of the Word of God that you can find. And I believe that it is perfectly preserved in the King James Bible. Now, I believe that. Now, I want to tell you, if you got another translation, I want you to listen to Brother Hall for just a minute. Look in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and you'll find that they leave out the blood. Every other version, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And they will leave out through His blood in every one of the translations except the King James Bible. I'm going to tell you, you can't take blood out of salvation and have salvation, friend. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, I want to say that for his benefit this morning. He was telling me about the problems he's encountered up there. And I said that for his benefit. Psalm 102, let's read the first 11 verses together. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto Thee. Hide not Thy face up from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline Thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of Thine indignation and Thy wrath, for Thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that portion of Scripture this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful now for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God this day. And thank You, Lord, for Thy Word that is before us. And I realize without You this morning, we're helpless. We can do nothing. So I pray, Lord, for Your divine and holy presence in this place. May the Spirit of God that breathe upon us today. And God, I pray for fresh oil upon myself, not just the oil of the Spirit of God. But Lord, I feel that this day that I need fresh oil that can only come from the Holy Ghost of God. Help me, I pray. Give me the power. Give me the liberty. Give me the unction. Give me the wisdom and knowledge that I need today to preach, Lord, the thought that You've laid upon my heart. I'm not here to impress man. I'm here to please God. I pray that Your Word will not fall upon hearts, Lord, that are hardened and rejective. But, Lord, that they'll receive with all readiness of mind the engrafted Word of God. May sinners be saved today and God's people find great revival and joy in their hearts from Your divine presence. And we'll thank You, Father, and praise You for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 11 this morning. For the Bible said, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. I want to call your attention this morning to that word in that verse of Scripture where the psalmist says that his days are like a shadow. I thought about this morning about preaching on Bible shadows. And there's three that I want to use and preach for a little while this morning. I want to preach, first of all, and mention the shadow of declension. And then secondly, I want to talk to you a little while about the shadow of death. Brother David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And then the third shadow that I want to mention to you is the shadow of delight. Out of the Song of Solomon, where Solomon said, or the little bride said, that concerning the Lord, that she sat down under His shadow of that apple tree, and it was there that she found great delight. But I tell you, I began to pray last night about the message and the thought, and I wanted something of a message with a title more than Bible Shadows. And it seemed that God spoke to my heart and broke it at the same time and continued to deal with me in the same way this morning on this thought that I want to preach from shades of night to plains of light. I'm glad, thank God, that He lifted me from shades of night and brought me in the plains of light. I was sitting, my friend, in the shadows of death, in the regions beyond hope. But thanks be unto God, there was a light that shined out of darkness to where I was, illuminated my way, and brought me out of darkness into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I'm glad today, thank God, that I've seen the light that is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," and that light shines out of darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But I'm glad, thank God, there are some that the Holy Ghost will open their heart and save them by His grace and lead them out of the regions of the damned and out of the way of darkness and lead them into the glorious light of the children of God. And if we'll walk in light as He is in the light, there will be no occasion of stumbling in us. I'm glad, thank God, if we'll walk in that light as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. Hallelujah. Am I getting anywhere with you today? We're just a tad bit on the dead side today. Amen. But I thought about a song that we never sang, and you'll just pardon me this morning if I get right into this for a little while. I remember old Brother Paul Powell, that pastors over in Harrison County, Indiana, North Harrison Baptist Church. I asked Miss Hall about this song this morning. She was looking for it. I said, "It's not entitled He Lifted Me." And she looked at me strange, and I said, "That's He Lifted Me." Old Brother Paul's got a speech impediment now. And I can still hear him as he used to sing that song, from shades of night to plains of light. He lifted me. Oh, praise His wonderful name. He lifted me. And I'm glad, thank God, that He did lift me, friend. Oh, yes, I was sitting in darkness, but Jesus passed by and resurrected my soul and lifted me up and brought me into the glorious light of the children of God. And by His power, thank God. Hallelujah! He lifted me. Amen and amen. I think of that old song, and you just pardon me this morning. I'm not a singer. I showed you that while ago, but fouling up. But I'm going to tell you that that's a wonderful song. Listen to the words of it. It's written by Charles H. Gabriel. And the verses of that, there's four verses. And it goes something like this, if I may, and I can get enough breath to sing it a little bit. He said, "In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace He lifted me. From sinking sand, He lifted me." I'm going to have to find my words. "With tender hands, He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise His name, He lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. But when I took Him at His word, forgiven, He lifted me. From sinking sand, He lifted me. With tender hands, He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise His name, Jesus lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn. His hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love He lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why, I cannot tell. He should have lifted me. From sinking sand, He lifted me. With tender hands, He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise His name, He lifted me. My Bible tells me in that verse that the psalmist said, my days are like a shadow. And the word shadow does mean a shade by hovering over. And my friend, there are some things that hover over us that unless we escape that shade of darkness, unless we escape that darkness that hovers over us, a man will spend eternity in hell. But there is another definition also. It means a representative figure. In other words, a shade is not necessarily what we think it is. It is only a representative figure. Just like a tree gives off a shade, and that shade is a representative figure of that tree. It's kind of like the shadow of death. It's not really death. It's just a shadow of death. It's just a figure of death. I'm glad, thank God for a child of God, that we've been lifted out of death into life, and we'll pass through that shadow of death by the good grace of God and come out on the other side in the presence of our holy God. Now, don't nobody leave me now. We're going to be terribly slow this morning, but I'm just going to preach this, and we're going to the house. The psalmist, this psalm is a prayer of an afflicted man. He's afflicted both in body and probably afflicted in soul. And he looks beyond his youthful years and sees the life that is about to end. That's drawing to a close. Now, I want to say that's the way it is with all of us, my friend. Life will suddenly come to an end someday. And our life that we're living now is like a shadow. But it's not merely like a shadow. It's like a shadow that declineth. Have you ever on a hot summer day tried to find some shade? And the higher the sun rose into the sky, the shorter that shade got and the smaller that shade became until the sun forced you out of that place into another. I'm going to say, my friend, so it is in life. Every day that we wake up, our life just grows up one day shorter. Amen to God. Yes, that shadow, my friend, is shortened every day that we live. And the psalmist said that my days, they're like a shadow that declineth. I want to say, my friend, that life, James said, is but a vapor of smoke that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So Somebody said, Brother Hall, what must a man do? You better prepare, my friend, to meet your God, because as sure as I'm living, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And time waits on no man, friend. It's a running out on some of you in here today. Amen. That's right. My days are like a shadow that declineth. It seemed like only yesterday that I was a little old towhead boy sitting in Underwood Schoolhouse listening to Miss Henretti teach, write them little old 1 plus 1s and 2 plus 2s on a chalkboard. And I thought as a young man that my life would never end. I looked at somebody 30 years old and thought, there's an old man. But when I got to 20, that moved on up to 40. And when I got to 30, it moved on up to 50. And now, my friend, I'm a bumping 57 years old, and it don't look old to me at all. Are you listening? But I'm telling you, as sure as I'm living here today, my days are running out. My life is like a shadow that declines. And so is yours, my friend. Our time is a running out on us in this life. And what we do for God, we ought to do it now. I'm going to tell you, we're all sitting under that shadow of declension. The declining of time. It's running away. Our bodies tell us that it is. I talked to Sister Rickard this morning. I asked her how she is doing. She said, I'm doing fine, Brother Hall. Said, I have good days and bad days. But she said, my most difficult time is in the mornings when I wake up. I find it hard to get up and get my body to move. And I said, amen, sis. I can sympathize with you along those lines. It takes me a little while in the mornings to get my bones to where they ought to be and my muscles to flex to where they ought to be operating. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? I'm not 16 years old anymore, buddy. I'm a 57-year-old man. And my body is about ready to go back to the dust of the earth from whence God brought it out of. And I'll tell you, friend, our life is like a shadow that declines away from us. It's about to go. Amen. I want to say, don't be sitting in the shadow of death when the shadow of declension dwindles away. There will be no hope for a man or a woman there. But you know that I found here that shadow of declension is God's measure of life. God has given us that. Listen to me now. That is just a part of God's grace that He has revealed to us the length of our days, that by grace that we might flee from the damnation of hell and the condemnation of sin that we're living under and flee to Christ and lay hold upon the cross that we might be saved by the good grace of God. Oh, I'm telling you, it's from shades of light, night to plains of light. He lifted me as you sat in that shadow of declension and time's running out. I'm glad there's a light. That's a shining, my friend, to make that shadow what it is. And that's God's mercy and God's love shining on a sinner, that he might come to God. I see God's mercy and God's grace and God's goodness even in that shadow of declension. He has told us that our days are just 70. If by reason of strength, God makes them 80. And He didn't do that to discourage us. He told us that, my friend, that measure in our life as He had, that we might flee to the cross and lay hold upon eternal and everlasting life. And so I see here, and I'm going to have to hurry, I see a measure of life. But I see, secondly, not only a measure of life, but I see a messenger of life, of light. There must be light if a shadow is to be cast. Oh yes, and that light is a messenger, my friend, from Almighty God, telling us that light has come into the world. Oh yes, where there's a shadow, there must be a light. And the shadow of God's love has shined upon our life that's declining away. As a messenger of God, as a messenger from heaven, my friend, that we might repent of our sins and come to Christ and be saved. Hallelujah. Well, I'm trying to preach to you. I won't say thirdly, and I'm just hurrying. Not only is the shadow of declension a measure of life and a messenger of light, but I want to say that it's a minister of the law. Somebody said, now, preacher, oh, you went too far here. Oh, no. It reveals our condemnation. Yes, sir. It reveals our condemnation. And God gave us the law as a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And as a minister of the law, and I've already said it, but God has revealed that light of declension, my friend, to reveal our condemnation and reveal our destination, that we might flee from that darkness and lay hold upon the light, the glorious light of the gospel. Brother Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Let the glorious light of the gospel shine, my friend. Amen. And amen upon that shadow of declining years as a minister of the law. I'm going to tell you, the more I read the Bible, Brother Steve, the more ways I see in the Word of God that God has tried and strived and strived with the heart of man, that He might bring man unto Himself. You do realize that that's been God's plan all along from creation unto now, is to bring fallen sinners, my friend, unto Himself. Little Benny stood here in the Sunday school hour and taught us this morning out of the origin, on the origin of the church at Philippi, and the fact that there was a man from Macedonia that cried out to Brother Paul to come over and help him. And why? He saw himself in that declining light, that shade, that shadow of declension, without God and without hope and no way to get out of it. But God sent a man. I'm about to get warmed up and preach. God sent a man, hallelujah, down into Macedonia. And old Brother Paul, come on, preaching the Word of God. And preaching opened up Lydia's heart. And preaching opened up that little girl with a spirit of divination's heart. And preaching opened up the Philippian jailer's heart. And they were brought out of shades of night under the plains of light by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to say fourthly, not only the shadow of declension is a messenger of life, it's a measure of life and a messenger of light and a minister of the law. But it manifests God's love. I didn't get this out of a book. Get a hold of this. It reveals His love. The light of His love shines upon, and I hope I can read this, upon our sin and forms the shadow that we live in. Hallelujah to God. His love shines upon our sin and forms the shadow that we live in and reveals God's love. It manifests God's love that He died in darkness. Oh, praise God, He just gave me that. The Son of God died in darkness, my friend, that you and I might be brought out of that darkness in the light. Amen. That cloud shadowed over the Son of God, hung like thick darkness over Him. For 6 long hours He hung there on the cross. Oh yes, from the 6th to the 9th hour there was a cloud that overshadowed Him. And that cloud was your sin and my sin. Yeah. That cut Him off from God the Father. Yeah. No wonder He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, if the Holy Ghost would come in this place this morning and open up some of your blinded eyes that you could see a Christ being cut off from all the glory of heaven and all the grace of the Father, my friend, that He might be made sin for you and I, my friend, Him that knew no sin, that He died in darkness to bring you and I into the light of the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm hearing you, I've never seen so many doubting, for alliteration's sake, dumb people is what I see in the world today. Amen. Whose life continues to flee from them. Just continues to vanish. He just continues to move away from them, and yet they make no effort at all to seek the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we're living in a pitiful hour, friend. I'm afraid that people are mesmerized by sin. And the devil is leading them around by the nose. And they're going to believe a lie someday and be damned. But I'm telling you, while there is time, we better flee to God. I was in the book of the Revelation, there was an angel that set one foot on the sand and the other on the sea. And he said, there shall be time no more, no longer. Now I'm telling you, friend, hey, that's talking about time altogether. Well, that will be when eternity begins. Oh, yes, but I'm telling you, time's going to run out for a whole lot of people before that day ever comes. They're going to enter into eternity. And I'm going to tell you, as the tree falls, my friend, so it lays. You're not going to lean toward hell all your life and go to heaven when you die. Amen. Now look here. Listen to me carefully. Man stays or lives in that shadow of declension. There's another shadow. But God can bring him out of that shadow of declension from shades of night to glorious plains of light. Walking in the sunlight of God's love. I couldn't believe Brother George sang that song. Walking in the sunlight of God's love. Amen. I'm going to tell you, hey, I'm going to tell you who we're like today, who a sinner is like. Friend, he is like old Bin Laden or Hussein or some of them over there holding up in a cave where no light can get there. Living in shades of darkness without light at all in their life. I remember years ago we went to the Marengo Cave in Marengo, Indiana. Walked down into there and they set us down in one of those big rooms and had a couple of leaders there. I forget what they called them, but had a couple of people there that was escorting us through that cave. And that one, I believe it was a woman, she said, I want to show you what it's like when the Bible says outer darkness. And that woman turned, she said that she turned off those lights and I've never seen darkness as dark as it was in that cave. And I thought, my God, this is exactly where a sinner's living. That woman said, put your hand as close to your face as you can put it without touching your face. And I stuck my hand right up into that eyeball and it was so dark in that cave that I couldn't even see my own hand. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that's the way sinners are. They're groping in the shadow of declension. They're living in darkness and without light. They'll die in the regions of darkness and go to the realm of the dead without God, without hope. And I thought how sad it would be as a sinner to live this way. Really never seeing the face of the Savior. Never seeing the glories of heaven. Never seeing the brightness of the firmament that He created and sprinkled into the universe by His own power. Never realizing the river of life and enjoying the blessings of eternity. Right. And about that time, that woman turned on that light and there I sat with both hands of everybody else with their hands in front of their eyes. And I could see and I thought, oh, glory to my soul. That's exactly how a sinner is. When God turns on the light, He goes immediately from my friend, from darkness to light and from blindness to light. The minute that light is turned on. Instantaneously, He can see. From shades of night to plains of light, He lifted me. Hallelujah, I couldn't see the Savior. I couldn't see my sin. I couldn't even see myself. But oh, when He turned on the light, I was able to see Him high and lifted up. I saw the nail-pierced hands. I saw the riven side. I saw the crown of thorns that had pierced His head. But I saw Him suffering. I saw Him in shame. I saw Him, my friend, making atonement for my sin and offering Himself that I might escape hell. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. I want to say now, there's not only the shadow of, there's not only the shadow of declension, but there is a shadow of death. Old Brother David said in Psalm 23 in verse number 4, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there it is again, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Is everybody trying to listen to me now? I said that one of the definitions that Strong gives for that shadow is a representative figure. Notice what David said. He's not walking through death. Just a shadow of death. It's just a representative figure. That shadow just represents what we have escaped. Oh, hallelujah to God. For we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Bless His wonderful name. Now get this now. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And somebody said, now, Brother Hall, if we die, how in the world can we walk through that valley of the shadow of death? Same way that old Lazarus did, friend. God will dispatch the angels of heaven to carry us away into Abraham's bosom. Come on in the house now. Try to help me out if you can. I'm doing the best I can with a dead crowd. Listen carefully now. That shadow of death that's appointed unto men wants to die. But notice he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There is a passage in this. Yea, though I walk. And it's walking through a passageway. Now I want to say, my friend, as we walk through it, there is safety. He didn't say, as I sit down, as I die there, as I give up there. Yea, though I walk through it. Praise God, I'm glad because of the blood that we're going to walk through it someday in safety. You get a hold of that. I heard a preacher preaching in Greenville, South Carolina years ago, and he said, if it were possible, when a saved man or a woman dies, that the devils of hell would pounce on their soul like fly on honey and drag them off to the realm of the damned, the regions of the dead, into hell itself. But he said, just like the blood, my friend, was applied to the doorpost and the lintels of the house down in Egypt. And when that death angel came through the land that night, he had no power over them. Because God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm glad, thank God, that it's by the blood that we'll make our passage through that valley of the shadow of death, my friend. Go through in safety because of the blood. Because the blood has been applied. Oh, hallelujah to God. That stirs my soul, friend. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't believe all these tales about people tell about dying and coming back. He said, though I walk through it. When you start, you're going to the other end. And ain't no return trips. That's right. And hey, look here. And just like that death, Jesus said, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hey, He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. I'm glad, thank God, that He's a hovering over us because the blood has been applied to our soul. So I see the passage in that shadow of death. And He said, then I see the peace that we'll have in it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. You know, there's so many people today that die without peace. They're afraid of death. They're afraid of what they're going to see when their last breath flees from their body. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, for a lost man, it ain't going to be like that woman sat up there in the hospital the day little Nicole was born. She said, I'm going up on the sixth floor and tell my mother now that she can die in peace and go to hell, said the baby's here. There'll be no peace in hell.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's peace in the valley. Oh, there's peace in the valley. Why, Brother Hall? Because we pass from shades of night to plains of light. And there is a light that will go with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. I read a book one time about old D.L. Moody. The Bible said that when D.L. Moody laid down in that bed and the death angel moved upon his soul, and his wife sitting at his side, and she reached out and took Mr. Moody by the hand. He looked at his wife and said, darling, is this death? And she said, yes, D.L., this is death. And he said, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you young bucks in here don't ever think about dying. But I'm going to tell you, it's a present thought in my mind. And I'm going to tell you, the older you get, the more real death will become to you. That's right. I'm going to tell you, friend, and there's nothing like dying and facing that valley of the shadow of death with peace in your heart. And I know some of you in here just like little Josh there, probably some of you as old as Robert, maybe as old as Brother Ricky and even older. That thought never enters your mind. You never worry about dying. But I'm telling you, friend, that your life is like a shadow that's declining away. And once that shadow is gone, death is next. When the shadow disappears, it's death. Mark it down. It's appointed unto men once to die. I read a book once, old John Jasper, old black preacher. He said old John Jasper was laying on his bed of affliction and ready to go out and meet God. Had preached all them years and said he lay there on the bed and suddenly with his wife and family at his side, said that old black preacher raised up and sat up in the bed, raised up his hand and saluted. And he said, "Lord, this is your servant, John Jasper. And I'm standing at the River of Jordan and waiting for their orders. I know I'm going to die that way. I wonder if you are. But can you like John Jasper when your days have run out and expired and that shadow of declension is gone and the shadow of death moves on your soul? Can you like John Jasper say, Lord, I'm standing at the river ready to make the cross and hallelujah to God. And I know that Jesus will be waiting at the river for me. I don't know about you or anybody else, but I know Jesus will be there. Amen. Waiting at the river. My sweetheart over there sings that song, I'll be waiting at the river for you. Now I might be waiting there for her. And she might be waiting there for me. But I've got a little feeling Jesus is going to be waiting there for both of us. Woo! Hallelujah to God. You know the words of that song? Huh? You know the words of the verse of it? Stand right up and sing it. Drop there. Sing it in Acapulco. Sing it. Sing. Oh, yes, sister. Oh, yes.
When our life on earth is over and we come to cross the tide, I'll be waiting at the river for you. No more heartache, no more sorrow.
Gone, ladies and gentlemen. Peace. Never! Woo! Hand in hand. Look here, did you hear what it said? I'll be hand in hand, we'll walk together down Heaven's Avenue. Oh, what God just gave me as we walk through that valley of the shadow of death. And we cross that river, thank God there is a street of gold on the other side of the cross. And hallelujah to God. And we can enter in on this side with peace in our hearts because we know we're coming out on the other side of that valley. It's just a representative figure of death. Because we passed from death unto life. Ain't that good, Brother Doug? Even if a little old country Baptist preacher did preach it. And even though we are about twice dead and fucked up by the roots in here this morning, that's still good preaching. Amen. I see the passage. I see the peace. And I see the presence. He said, for thou art with me. I want you to get a hold of this. And I couldn't get it all the way I wanted to. But he said, thou art with me. And he said, thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. And I didn't have time to study out that rod, that staff. But one thing I know about that staff, that shepherd's staff was come up and it had a curl in it. Look here. And that curl was used when little sheep got in places that they couldn't get out of. That shepherd would take that stick with that curl in it, that shepherd's rod, and hook it under the front legs of those little sheep and lift them up out of that dangerous place and bring them to safety. In other words, that staff was used as an instrument to rescue perishing sheep. Yeah. Son, if you ain't got it now, you spiritually dumb. Thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. Yea, though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that staff of his, my friend, will rescue me from the perils and dangers of that long, lonesome valley. Woo-wee! You know what? I believe that, man, I'm telling you, God's a hell. That shows me some of the greatest faith that I've ever seen in all the Word of God.
Right.
That psalmist had to realize that even though God would slay him, yet would he rescue him. If he stumbled and fell in that valley of death, God would still with that staff reach out and rescue that little sheep as he walked through that lonesome valley. Hallelujah to God. His presence, thy rod and thy staff. And then there's one more, and I'm closing with this. There's the shadow of declension, the shadow of death, from shades of night to plains of light. He lifted me.
Amen.
Living in the shadow of declension, our days are soon to run out. Living in the shadow, walking through the shadow of death, thank God He is there with us. And why, Brother Hall? Because we've been lifted from shades of light to plains of light. There's one more shadow. I've labeled it a shadow of delight.
Amen.
Ooh. I wish somebody could help me this morning. Help me, Brother Jerome, if you can. Help me! Help me! Just a little while this morning, but I tell you, in the Song of Solomon, that little old bride of Solomon, she said in chapter 2 and verse 3, as the apple tree, underline that word apple tree, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of men. Get this now. I sat down under the shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. That little old bride said, I sat down under the shadow of that apple tree. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. That's a wonderful shadow to live under. It says over in chapter 8, he said, I raised thee up under that apple tree. Raised her up under the shadow of the cross. There's nothing like living in the shadow of the cross of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I ain't got all the time to get there. But I'm like Effie. I might take the time and get there. Get a hold of this now. Everybody talks about Jesus being crucified on a dogwood tree. I ain't found a thing in the Bible to substantiate one word of that. Not one word of it. But I'm going to tell you something. I can find some scripture that might prove, and I wouldn't be dogmatic about it, he might have been crucified in an apple tree. Or he might have been crucified on an acacia tree. But I'm thinking he died on an apple tree. That little bride. That little saved one, that little Gentile.
Amen.
She said, just like the trees of the woods, my beloved is like an apple tree. Just one. I'm going to tell you what, friend. They ain't but one cross. I believe what she's saying there is, I sat down under the shadow of Calvary. And I sat down there because I'd been lifted from chains of night to plains of light. And I sat down under the light of the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Y'all just come from light of Calvary. Calvary sends out a light. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Thanks be unto God, friend. She said, and I not only sat down there, but I sat down under it with great delight. Woo! I'm rejoicing today because he brought me out of shades of night to plains of light. And let me sit down right under the shadow of the glorious cross. Now, I don't want anybody to leave me. I'll be done in about 5 minutes and we'll get out of here earlier today than we normally do. We got visitors and I want to let them out of here. But that apple tree. Somebody said, preacher, what do you get out of that? I'm going to let somebody ask. Stay right with me now. It's a shadow of delight. That apple tree, I believe, becomes a type of the cross upon which the Prince of Glory died. Stay with me now. The word tree, are you listening? The word tree means firmness. It even takes on the thought of being a gallows where somebody died. Look it up, you Strongs. It doesn't take a real educated man to look that up. But it literally means firmness. And I want to say to you this morning, my friend, the cross is firm today. It's still by the preaching of the cross that sinners are saved. I thought of how firm a foundation. You saints of the Lord, I'm here to tell you, friend, that cross is stable. That cross is certain. That cross is established. That cross is there. It's the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I thought of the firmness of that cross, that it's been unshaken. Brother Steve, they've tried every way under the sun to propagate the gospel by some other means and get sinners saved by some other way. We'll hot dog them in, popcorn them in, bubble gum them in. We'll have bingo and we'll have pony rides and we'll have softball teams and we'll have volleyball teams and we'll have gimmicks and gadgets. I'm going to be honest, I'm not trying to be ugly. It makes me sick to think what Baptists are doing today. To try to get people into the house of God and get them under conviction and get them saved, and they'll never get it done without the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. All they want is crowds, Miss Kim. That's all they want is just big crowds of people. That's all they're interested in. Try to get in a crowd. I'm not interested in a crowd. I'm interested in the power. In the presence of a holy God. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's still through the cross. Oh, my God. There's no sun shining on it to decline its shadow away. That sun will never rise to a point where there's not a shade beneath the cross. It's unshakable, buddy. And it's unchanging. It ain't never changed. Sinners still get saved the same way they've always got saved. By grace through faith. Woo! Amen. Thank you. Help me out, Brother Steve. For by grace through faith, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Created in Christ Jesus. Forgot it. Wherefore we are ordained. Hallelujah. And it ain't changed.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you why the cross is unshaken and unchanged. It's because the gospel is unshaken and unchanged. It's because Christ is unshaken and unchanged. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Buddy, I'm here to tell you. Somebody said, how did old Adam and Eve get in? By the gospel. How did Noah get in? By the gospel. How did Abraham get in? By the gospel. Oh yes, by faith, looking to that day when Christ would die on the cross. I know some of you people ain't never seen me think I'm a fool. Paul said he'd be a fool for Christ, see? I'm just trying to preach like God told me to preach, amen. I hope I never get like a crowd I'm trying to preach to. Amen, Brother Jerome. Thank God. No, I love you. I wouldn't take $1 million for you. Heard them say on the news yesterday they found a bus, load of people over there, had $600,000 in $100 American bills on it. Wonder where that crowd got that at. I've got a feeling they wasn't no Johnny come lately. They've been in some place where there's a moolah ass around. Know what I'm saying? I hope them soldiers took it all. I hope somebody said, oh, preacher, that'd be stealing the high. I don't know about that. Them armies that God's people overrun got spoils, didn't they? We might as well just take money all in all from that crowd over. Give the UN something to cry about. Let Russia and all of them cry about it. Amen. We drive our automobiles in and have gasoline about 10 cents a gallon. Woo! Yeah! Amen. That's right. I wouldn't let that crowd. They said the other day that France is desecrating our boys' graves that died in World War I and World War II. I wouldn't give them a noticeable nod, a flip of a used booger, buddy. Amen. Amen. I think we'll change the name of French fries to fried French. You'll catch that in my slow parade after a while. Yes! Praise God! Thank God! They wouldn't let us come over there and preach the gospel, but I'm glad I'm in a country where I can tell folks about Christ. Amen. I want to say that that firmness is unshaken, unchangeable, and unending. The Bible said in Revelation 14:6, he talked about the everlasting gospel. I'm going to tell you something, friend. In all eternity, you will be there by the power of the cross.
Amen.
Yes, sir, and what it's done in your life. Hey, somebody said, how do you know? Blessed be. No, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm going to have to find it. Hold on just a minute here. Praise God. Yeah, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. Let me ask you, what is the power of God? I'll tell you what Paul said in Corinthians. He said, the cross is both the power and the wisdom of God. And son, it'll be the everlasting power of the cross that keeps us throughout all eternity. Amen. So there's the firmness of that cross. Notice what else it says. That I sat down under the shadows with great delight. The apple tree among the trees of the wood. Not just a tree, but an apple tree.
Amen.
That word apple means fragrance. I'm trying to hurry.
Amen.
That word apple literally means fragrance. Apples give off an odor.
Right.
And I got to thinking, what on earth could that fragrance mean about the cross? And I got thinking about the sacrifices in Leviticus. And old Moses said, this burnt offering will be a sacrifice of a sweet savor.
Yes.
That word savor means odor.
Yes.
What she is saying here, the odor of His sacrifice. Oh, it was sweet to my tongue. Oh, that odor, that apple tree, that sacrifice puts up an odor to God. Get it now. Don't lose this. Don't miss this. That odor was two things. It satisfied God and it saved the sinner. When God said and saw the travail of His soul, He said, I'm satisfied with that. It is an odor of a sweet smell. My son died for you bunch of reprobates. My son died. I mentioned something about the son dying the other day and Miss Hawk said, did you send yours? I saw in the newspaper yesterday of a retired lieutenant colonel in the Special Forces sitting at Arlington Cemetery with his wife in his full uniform with a coat on because it was cool. And they were burying his 27-year-old son. His only son. That man sat with him. And you could see the agony and the grief in his face that was expressed by what he felt in his heart as he watched that crowd lower his only boy, his darling son, the apple of his eye, down into that grave. Can you imagine, my friend, that God allowed His only begotten son to be lowered down into a lowly grave? But oh, I know this ain't Easter Sunday, but hallelujah to God. 3 days later, up from the grave He arose. But with a mighty cry for His foes. Hallelujah. And that little old bride said, I sat down there with great delight because I've been lifted from plains of darkness. Shades of darkness to plains of life. Can you imagine God doing that? How it must have broke his heart to watch his only son. And by the way, somebody said, oh, there were sons of God before him. I know what it says in the book of Job and stuff, but there'll never be a son until there's first a father. He was never called father until the New Testament.
Amen.
Can't have a son without a father. We're not hatched, ladies and gentlemen. And I wasn't adopted into his family either. I'm pre-born. Hallelujah. Amen, Brother Doug. That fragrance, it satisfied the Father. That sacrifice saved the sinner. No wonder she could say, praise God, I sat down there with some great delight. I'm under the shadow of that. I'm trying to quit, honestly. I'm under the shadow of that apple tree. And kind of like old Job, you know what the hedge was? It was about Job. It was a shadow.
Amen.
That apple tree. The shadow of the cross. Amen. And the devil walked on the perimeter and God said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yeah, but he sits under the shadow of the cross. And I can't get to it. Woo! Shame on the devil! Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Mm. Well, I can't keep up my glasses. Can't keep up my hanky. I've lost it all. Satisfied God. Both on the table. Praise God, that's where he left his napkin. And he left it folded up just like that. Y'all get a hold of that? He didn't crumple it up when old Peter went there and saw a napkin. It was folded up nicely. I imagine he looked over John and said, hallelujah, he's coming back. He ain't done. He's still got something to finish. He's not coming back again. I'm telling you, he is, and it won't be long till he gets here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I see the firmness of that cross and the fragrance of that cross. But notice, he said, I sit down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit, is sweet to my taste. I'm done, I think. What kind of fruit does the cross bear? I won't say, first of all, it bears life.
Amen.
His fruit, that life. I'm going to ask you something this morning. Are you saved?
Amen.
Is that life, eternal life he's given you, does it not give a flavor in your soul that you just can't get away from, knowing that he's given you life? Some of you in here have got TVs and computers. You've seen dead, decaying bodies laying in Iraq. Wonder how that dead body that's laying there, or even the mama or daddy or wife, that dead body would feel. That dead body just suddenly is resurrected. Friend, we were polluted in our own blood.
Dead!
Hallelujah, if we can ever get home. Oh, I know Baptists believe it's got a little flame there, and you just fan it a little bit and it'll burn. No, dead in trespasses and sin. Decaying, rotten, a mess. And Jesus passed by where we were in the shadows, my friend of death, and spoke. And life! Life! No wonder she said it's sweet, it's blessed, it's wonderful, the most precious thing I have. Life. I'm alive today. I'm alive. We're alive. The second fruit, life. Love. His love, his wonderful love. And I'm closing with this, and I'm closing with it for a purpose. Liberty.
Amen.
How many of you have heard them Iraqi people cheering, 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 chanting and singing and cheering because the oppression they lived under has been lifted?
Right.
They're free. My God, they're free. Can you imagine? Brother Steve walked in there this morning. He said, preacher, said you ain't going to believe this. But they said on the news that they found 7 Americans.
and POWs alive. Now, folks, they didn't find all of them. They found the remains of some of their clothes. But they died in their bondage. They never experienced the freedom of being released from their captors. But I can imagine, I'm really getting happy right here. I can imagine when those American troops closed in on that position, those Iraqi soldiers that was guarding them said, we want y'all to get out of here. Go on. Well, you've been holding us here for 3 weeks. I know it, but get out of here. Go on. Get. Can you imagine when Jesus, by His eternal Spirit, walked into the soul of man, there sat Satan and sin and condemnation and guilt.
Get up! And liberty and life and love was brought to your never dying soul. And now you find great delight sitting under the shade of that apple tree. Shades of night, flames of light. Get out of here, condemnation. Scat, guilt! Beat it, death! Beat it, depravity!
And you started walking. Come to an independent Baptist church and found friendly forces. I won't charge you nothing for that one. From shades of night to plains of light. He lifted me. Let's stand.